Patient, written by Jasper DeWitt and read by Eduardo Ballerini.
I write this because, as of now, I am not sure if I am privy to a terrible secret or if I myself am insane. Being a practicing psychiatrist, I realized that would obviously be bad for me both ethically and from a business standpoint. However, since I cannot believe I'm crazy, I'm posting this story because you're probably the only people who would even consider it possible. For me, this is a matter of responsibility to humanity. Let me say before I start that I wish I could be more specific about the names and places I've mentioned here. But I do need to hold down a job and can't afford to be blacklisted in the medical and mental health field as someone who goes around spilling the secrets of patients, no matter how special the case. So while the events I describe in this account are true, the names and places have had to be disguised so that I can keep my career safe while also trying to keep my readers safe. What few specifics I can give are these. My story took place in the early 2000s at a state psychiatric hospital in the United States. My fiancée Jocelyn, a puckishly intelligent, ferociously conscientious, and radiantly beautiful trust funder who moonlighted as a Shakespeare scholar, was still mired in her doctoral thesis on the women in King Lear. Because of that thesis, and because of my desire to stay as close to her as possible, I had decided to interview only at hospitals in Connecticut. On the one hand, having gone to one of the most prestigious New England medical schools and followed with an equally rigorous and esteemed residency in the same region, my mentors were particularly adamant on the subject of my next professional step. Appointments at little-known, poorly funded hospitals were for the mere mortals from Podunk State, not doctors with lux et veritas on their diplomas, and particularly not doctors who had done as well as I had in my studies and clinical training. I, on the other hand, could not have cared less about such professional one-upmanship. A brush with the ugly side of the mental health system in my childhood, following my mother's institutionalization for paranoid schizophrenia, had made me far more interested in fixing the broken parts of medicine than ensconcing myself in its comfortably functional upper echelons. But in order to get a job even at the worst hospital, I would need references, which meant that the faculty's prejudices would play a part in my decision-making. One particularly curmudgeonly doctor I turned to happened to know the medical director at the nearby state hospital from his own medical school days. At least, he told me, working under someone with her pedigree would prevent me from learning bad habits, and perhaps our overactive sense of altruism would make us a good fit for each other. I readily agreed, partially just to get the reference, and partially because the hospital my professor had recommended, a dismal little place I'll call the Connecticut State Asylum, CSA, for the sake of avoiding a lawsuit, suited my preferences perfectly, being one of the most underfunded and ill-starred in the Connecticut health system.